In my book, The Apocalypse Code, I point out that anti-Semitism is a horrific evil, especially when justified in the name of religion. Hitler, you will recall, needed no such pretext. His belief that Jews were subhuman and Aryan supermen fueled a mad rush towards ethnic cleansing. As the smoke from crematoriums wafted over steeples in the German countryside, another evil reared its ugly head. There were German pastors and parishioners who remained strangely silent. For some, it was a matter of self-preservation. For others, they justified apathy by blaming Jews for the Great War. And then there were yet others that believed that Jews were indeed fatalistically destined to face the wrath of Antichrist, and for that reason they did nothing. Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was not among them. He said, "If we claim to be Christians, there is no room for expediency." He not only denounced a Nazi regime that had turned its Führer into an idol and a god, but he denounced a confessional church that was more concerned with survival than with the sins of anti-Semitism and slavery. "When Christ calls a man," said Bonhoeffer, "he bids him come and die." Well, you'll recall April 9th, 1945, at age 39, Bonhoeffer experienced the ultimate cost of discipleship. By special order of Heinrich Himmler, he was hanged at the concentration camp at Flossenbürg. Well, ironically, April 9, 1948, 3 years to the day that Bonhoeffer was martyred in the struggle against anti-Semitism, another Semitic horror unfolded on the western outskirts of Jerusalem at a place called Dar Yassin. Benny Morris, a Jewish professor of history at Ben-Gurion University, described the slaughter of Arab civilians and even children by Israeli paramilitary. Before the day had ended, approximately 100 or so Arabs, mostly non-combatants, were murdered. And there were tragically also cases of mutilation and rape. The surviving inhabitants were then expelled to Arab-held East Jerusalem. Well, in clinical fashion, Morris unmasked the Zionist murders and the terrorism and ethnic cleansing that drove 600,000 to 750,000 Palestinians from their homes in 1948. Well, today, Palestinians comprise the largest displaced people group in the world. But they're no longer a mere nameless, faceless mass of humanity. Gary Burge, he is not only professor of New Testament at Wheaton College and Graduate School, but he's also president for Evangelicals for Middle East Understanding, has given definition to the plight of numerous displaced Palestinians. I want to give one example. This comes from his book, Whose Land, Whose Promise. He gives an example that touched me deeply. It's the story of Nora Court, one of the displaced Palestinians. Nora and her family were Jerusalemites, and they had lived in the shadow of the famous Jaffa Gate since the 1800s. Nora's grandfather was a committed Palestinian Christian who used his personal savings to build St. George's Church on the 48 acres of land that they had. But in 1948, Burge points out that war erupted and some of Israel's most vicious fighters charged over the hill. The fighting was fierce, and Nora's parents had to flee into Jerusalem's walled city. Unlike many of their friends, they survived, but their property slipped into the hands of Jewish settlers. When Israel occupied all of Jerusalem in 1967 and the borders moved, Nora's father made his very first trip back home. He even opened his own front door with his own key. But he was met by a Jewish family from Yemen who refused him entry. Well, when he died in 1994, his last words to his daughter were, "Nora, don't forget." Well, Nora was born after the war, and she didn't visit the family estate until 1995. By then, their family home had been transformed into a Zionist Confederation house. And as she sat in what was once their living room, she could hear the echo of her father's voice, and she desperately wanted to tell him that she had not forgotten. Well, when Gary Burge visited that same Zionist Confederation house, he discovered an Israeli propaganda piece that claimed that this house had once been a base for Arab terrorists. But of course, none of this was true. But he discovered something else as well. It was equally amazing in that, unlike many of those who had lost their families and their possessions, Nora had not become bitter. Instead, she counsels the downtrodden. She raises money for impoverished Arab families, and she counsels Palestinians who have lost all hope for justice. She says God is the father and the defender of those who are oppressed and treated unjustly. This is and this has been my mission and my commitment. As with Corrie ten Boom's sister Betsy, who died at Ravensbrück concentration camp, she is living proof that there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still.